With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how sometimes the stars just all are in alignment at the right time and everything falls into place? Well, that's what happened with this production of Tiny Beautiful Things coming to the Pasadena Playhouse April 14th, starring Nia Vardalos. She reprises her role that she originated in her stage adaptation of an acclaimed best-selling book called Tiny Beautiful Things. Here's Nia to tell us more about it.
Are very excited about this play because we ran it for two seasons in New York. We were lauded with the most beautiful seal I've ever gotten in my work, called the New York Times Critics Pick. Mm-hmm. And now I'm making my friends call me that constantly. If they say, hey, do you want to go for drinks? Mm-hmm. I say, I'm sorry, pardon me. And they go, ugh, do you want to go for drinks, New York Times Critics Pick? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll go. So years ago, Tommy Kail, just as he was directing Hamilton, he gave me a book called Tiny Beautiful Things, written by Cheryl Strayed, whose most recent book at the time was Wild. And I read this book, Tiny Beautiful Things. I had loved Wild, but this was a very different approach for writing. It was an epistolary exchange. While Cheryl Strayed was waiting for notes from her editor on Wild, she, on a whim, took a job as an unpaid online advice columnist. And she was anonymous, which was not why she took the job. It wasn't that it was freeing for her in any way. It's that she didn't want the audience to have the burden or the gift or anything of knowing who she was, so that they could just have the word.
Let me ask you, why did she do it unpaid?
Most writing gigs are unpaid. Things that are the most uplifting and enriching for us, there's no money.
But she was writing it for who?
The Rumpus. The Rumpus is a website.
Okay.
It's a literary website, which explains why the letters are so well written. She didn't edit them. She would do slight tweaks for brevity, but for the most part, they are the letters, as mm-hmm. written by real people. And Cheryl did something very different in the world of advice. She didn't offer instruction. She gave stories which were illuminating. She told real stories about her true life and would say, thank you for showing me your pain. Here is something that happened to me. Perhaps something in it might be useful to you.
What a great approach.
Uh-huh. And what happened is people started to read this column, and it became huge. And people gave each other advice in the comments. And this online community was formed of healing and candor and wisdom and pain and grief. And everybody loved each other on it. So after Wild was published and was an international success, of course, publishers said, what else you got? And she said, well, I've got the rights to these letters for this gig that I had. So the book was published, called Tiny Beautiful Things, and we reached out to Cheryl, Tommy Kail, Marshall Heyman, who had given the book to Tommy, and I reached out to Cheryl on social media, of course, and she happened to be coming to L.A. the very next day where I live because she was going to see the first cut of Wild. I met her after she saw the first cut, and when I finally met Reese Witherspoon, I said, thank you so much for treating Cheryl so well, because she might have said, no, I want nothing to do with you Hollywood people. So Cheryl came to me having felt heard by the filmmakers of Wild. They collaborated, they respected her, they became friends, and so I told her that that was the approach that Tommy Kail and I wanted. If I was going to adapt her book, of course we would want her to come to workshops to say, that ain't it, that is, etc. And she did, and she was very much a part of our process. Well, we opened in New York in the fall of 2016, and we sold out so quickly. Now, as a Canadian middle child, I felt a huge responsibility for that. So mm-hmm. when the public offered us to come back the next year in the biggest theater they had, we said yes, for the obvious reason that more people could see the play, and it sold out again. So now,
wow, that's great.
I kept rewriting, I kept tweaking, and I added some humor to the piece so that the audience could have an entire experience. And then Samuel French published the play. So suddenly we have over 20 theaters across the U.S. who are doing the play.
Wow.
Yes. Now, Danny Feldman of the Pasadena Playhouse, he emailed me, I think after the first preview in New York, and said, I'm going from the Labyrinth Theater to Pasadena. May I have your play?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, years ago. And I said, oh, we're not, I'm still writing. We're not, what? We're not, we haven't even opened yet. And he pursued us for 3 years. So that is why I asked him, will you please bring out the New York cast? He said, yes. I said, I'm working on another project, so I'll only be able to do the evening shows. Will you please cast someone as who we'll call Matinee Sugar? He said, yes. And then I said, okay, I'm going to play the role again.
Wow. And is it a one-woman show, Nia?
No, it's an ensemble.
Oh.
Amazingly gifted actors. I play Cheryl Strayed's character, but the actors play all the letter writers.
Oh, how fun.
They play about 80 characters on stage.
Just to back up a little, am I completely out of it that I've never heard of Rumpus?
To be honest, some people have and some people haven't. The Rumpus is a literary website. Cheryl Strayed was on it as a person, of course, an author and someone who writes material. And she liked the column. It was called Dear Sugar. Well, she sent a little note to the website saying, hey, I like this column. It's very funny and a little bit sarcastic, and I like its biting wit. Well, she got an email back from someone named Steve Almond who said, Cheryl, you and I actually met years ago at a writer's conference. Steve Almond said, I'm the anonymous Sugar.
No way.
Giving advice. Yeah, and she said, what? You're Sugar? That's crazy. And he said, well, even crazier is I was thinking of leaving the gig, and I have the audacity to ask you, as you know how much I admire your writing, will you take on
what?
Sugar?
The stars were in alignment that day.
Yes, but she said, you know, I don't do sarcasm. I do a different kind of writing. And Steve Almond said, no, you can make the column anything you want. So she went with unabashed, unending, radical empathy.
That's awesome. I also read that it's about kind of reconnecting with people one-on-one instead of all this, you know, texting we do and social media.
Yeah. Ironically, even though it happened online, it is a place where people can meet, gather, and heal. I found the play, the words, shockingly cathartic. The reason we put humor in it is because when I met Cheryl, she's funny too.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to interview her, find little things she said in some piece 5 years ago, and I would email her and say, may I have this phrase? And she would say, sure, creep. I was watching and learning, and ultimately I wanted the audience to have an all-encompassing experience of the theater. So that's why there is humor in the piece, there is healing. The advice is not meant as a... our director, Tommy Kail, had an excellent idea. He said to the letter writers, when Sugar gives you the advice, you don't necessarily have to take it. People aren't necessarily ready to hear things when it's said to them.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds amazing how it all lined up. And so you're going to be at the Pasadena Playhouse.
It's just going to be an amazing experience.
It sounds like it. And so what else are you working on?
Okay, here's the thing. I can't say right now, but I'll put it to be announced. But I'll put it this way. I have a dramatic feature and a comedy feature, and both are going to be announced within the next couple of weeks during the run of Tiny Beautiful Things.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes.
Awesome.
While I was doing the play, I had to stay quiet because it's 8 shows a week. I was in New York, and how many times can you go to Bergdorf's? So
I could go every day now.
True. I did go to the shoe department. I got some good sales. But I thought, okay, now that we're open, I have 8 shows a week. I have to stay quiet. So I wrote. I wrote 2 movies, and I came back, gave them to my peeps, and they're
wow.
Now going to get them made.
That's exciting.
So I guess I should add that Tiny Beautiful Things is coming to over 20 theaters across the U.S. So if you're wondering if it's coming to you, check, for example, New Haven, Connecticut is opening next. We're currently in San Diego and in Portland. Seattle opens also in March. There's just a lot of productions of this tiny, beautiful play.
Is there a website where it says all the venues?
Samuel French, I so appreciate you giving us your love.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
So if you'd like to see Nia in Tiny Beautiful Things, just go to PasadenaPlayhouse.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Maggie McKay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.